Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Well, that song makes me think of what was pointed out at Thursday Bible study. The only reason all of us aren't saved is because we don't want to be. Oh, my. But we're here to honor the feast day of St. John Baptist, and I searched and searched, and I came up with a sermon dedicated to the feast day, so we'll have one for the feast day instead of for Trinity 3. It comes from the sermon archive of the Most Reverend John T. Cahoon, Jr., who was our late Metropolitan, and he gave this in June of 2001, and it was real close to the end of his ministry on earth. St. John the Baptist isn't a Baptist at all. He is a Jew. When we call him Baptist, we mean he is a baptizer. He baptized and preached to get people ready for the arrival of the Messiah of Israel onto the stage of human history. His baptizing people in the Jordan River culminated when he baptized Jesus, the Messiah himself, as the Father identified Jesus as his Son and the Holy Ghost landed on his head in the form of a dove. In the prayer book's calendar, John the Baptist is the saint about whom we hear the most. Two of the Sundays in Advent are devoted to him, and the second Sunday in Epiphany is about his baptizing Jesus, and we have today's commemoration of his birthday. We give John the Baptist so much attention because he is so important, reasonably enough. He is a character who connects the Old Testament to the New Testament. That is not just a literary matter. What God does in the life of John the Baptist in the New Testament shows that he is keeping all of the promises he made in the Old Testament. John shows that it is not possible to say, the God of the Old Testament was such a mean old guy, I'm so glad he got replaced in the New Testament with a sweet, gentle baby Jesus. John is the connector cable. His life shows that the same God who got things going in the Old Testament is acting consistently in the New Testament. We celebrate John's birthday today because of the intimate connection between his conception and the conception of Christ. The archangel Gabriel tries to sell the Virgin Mary on the idea that she can become pregnant without sleeping with a man, and he offers as proof that God can do anything. Look at her cousin Elizabeth, who is 6 months pregnant after a whole life of seeming to be barren. That makes John 6 months older than Jesus, hence the birthday 6 months before Christmas. The difference between their conceptions and births is that the virgin conception of Jesus was an unprecedented miracle. The conception of John the Baptist is a more garden variety Old Testament miracle. The woman gets pregnant in the normal way, although she has never been able to conceive before. That connects John to Sarah's conception of Isaac when she appeared to be far too old, and to the conceptions of Samson and Samuel. The New Testament connects John to the Old Testament further by saying that he is the fulfillment of two distinct prophecies. One is in today's epistle from the prophecy of Isaiah, written of hundreds of years before Christ. It says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." The other prophecy that John fulfills is from Malachi, written several centuries later. It is the one Jesus himself uses to describe John. "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Today's gospel describes John's circumcision. Circumcisions took place on the eighth day of a boy's life, symbolizing a new beginning and reflecting the fact that the clotting factor in blood reaches its apex when a boy is a week old. And the circumcising is also the day of naming. Both of John's parents insisted he be called John, ignoring the custom that a child be named for a relative. When Gabriel told Zechariah that he and Elizabeth were going to conceive a child and name him John, Zechariah doubted it, even though John means gift of God. Gabriel struck Zechariah dumb, thus beginning one of the happier pregnancies in history, 9 months in which the father could not speak. When they tell the rabbi to name him John, God recognizes that Zacharias has finally capitulated and now believes, so he lets him speak. He sings what we know in the New Testament canticle as the Benedictus. The Benedictus weaves together the Old Testament prophecy and the New Testament reality, acknowledging John as the one whom Isaiah had spoken about, and praising God for fulfilling promises that were 2,000 years old. Zechariah says that God is going to keep his promise to deliver his people from their enemies, not with a political and military victory many expected, but by forgiving our sins. Deliverance is conceived of as rescue from our internal sinful nature rather than the defeat of any external enemy. Getting our sins forgiven is the crucial matter. Zacharias does not sing about how all this was going to be accomplished. He knew that it was coming, and he knew that his son was going to be one of God's crucial instruments in making it happen. He was going to be the one who brought the Messiah into public, the ultimate advance man. Let us relish the last words of the song of John the Baptist's father. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. If you want peace, if you want the tender mercy of God to shine on you, if you want to be saved, if you want to enjoy the full benefits of the lives of John the Baptist and Jesus the Messiah, then you must repent and confess your sins. You must accept the sacrifice of our Savior Jesus Christ as the one true means of grace. If you want peace, if you want the tender mercy of God to shine on you, if you want to be saved, there is no other way to do it. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty Father, who has taught us that we should love and minister to our fellow man in time of need, please lift the fallen firefighters into your presence, for they have demonstrated their devotion by giving their lives for others. Their selfless acts of heroism and sacrifice can only serve to inspire those left behind, not just the fathers and mothers, the sisters and brothers, the sons and daughters, and the many emergency responders, but all of us, that we may see thy love reflected in the actions of these thy children, in like manner follow the example of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
O God, Lord of all the world, we thank you for those that have gone before us to give of themselves even unto death, to help in time of calamity and to preserve our nation. Strengthen our armed forces this day. Let each man and woman feel a touch from you. Ease homesickness and pain from injury. Bring comfort and rest to the weary. Bring all conflict to a speedy end and our troops home to us. Remind us each and every day how much we have to be thankful for, and how we should show gratitude to these that have given so much. In the name of thy Son, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
O God of peace, who has taught us that in returning and rest we shall be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be our strength. By the mind of thy Spirit, lift us, we pray thee, to thy presence, that we may be still and know that thou art God, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that the words which we have heard this day with our outward ears may through thy grace be so grafted inwardly in our hearts that they may bring forth in us fruit of good living to the honor and praise of thy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all evermore.
Amen.